will you find hate here for the prequels?
No, they won't.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Babe Mabro. Joining me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, Babao Mabro.
Ooh.
I used the Jedi name generator.
Oh, I thought you used the Jedi mind trick and got me all loopy.
You're like, am I having a stroke? A force stroke?
I was having a forced stroke. I was taking a nice calming pee earlier, and I was like, what intro am I going to give today? And you just you spat on my pee, and now it was for naught.
Have you ever done that? You're like peeing, and you try to spit like and hit your stream? You ever done that?
Anyway.
You're like, oh, I have something to try later. But anyways, indeed, I'm your host, Ben. Joining me, as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And here we are, you know, last episode, I'm so used to saying last week, but last episode, we discussed Jurassic Park 3. And we talked about how that was our first third movie in the franchise, I believe, of a trilogy or what have you. And here we are this week discussing yet another third in a trilogy. It is a little late. The night we were going to record, the night before the day we were going to record, I lost electricity for about 22 hours. And then by the time it got back, things were a little hectic and crazy and trying to get back into the swing of things. So we were a little behind on our recording schedule. But hey, we're getting it out to you here. Gus released a nice video on his thoughts on Jurassic World Dominion, so you can go check that out in the meantime. But while here we are, once again, talking Revenge of the Sith this week.
Indeed. So I was like, oh, the pass off to me.
I was just going to let you say a couple things, and then I was going to introduce the show.
Then you're going to interrupt me again. No.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Sith. Why this one? Why skip Attack of the Clones? Because if you've been a longtime listener, you're reaching back. We've done episode 1, Phantom Menace. Yes, indeed. But why not Attack the Clones? Well, because it's skippable. No, it's because we recently had the show Obi-Wan Kenobi sped out on Disney Plus, and it has concluded. So there will be Kenobi spoilers. So know that as a blanket. If you want to watch that show, or if you haven't seen it yet, know that we will be discussing the events of Kenobi throughout this, because Revenge of the Sith and Obi-Wan Kenobi tie in so nicely together. So come back later if that is a bothersome thing to you. But if not, if you like a good spoiler, welcome. But yeah, Revenge of the Sith, I have a lot to say. And we are, you know, I think a big gimmick of ours, but it's a true gimmick, is most of our films are nostalgia-based, as in our feelings, our memories with these films. And Revenge of the Sith is a key one for me, and I'll get into it a little later.
Indeed. So before we dive headfirst into episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, let me tell you all a little bit about what we're about here. So this is the Brothers Movie Factory. Every week we take a film, we watch said film, then we take to the pod to discuss said film, what we liked about it, what we didn't, what worked, what didn't. And that's where we take the movie we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film and we have a little fun with it. Maybe we recast it with a modern audience. Maybe we recast an animated film to a live action movie. Maybe we just imagineer some new type of project in that same universe. We have a little fun with the concept of the movie so with that being said, leading us away, here we go. Revenge of the Sith, Star Wars Episode 3, the third or I guess technically the fourth Star Wars movie we've done on the podcast, because as Gus mentioned, we've done episode one, we did episode four, I personally did a little bit of a story time episode of episode five when I saw it in theaters, and here we go, episode three, Revenge of the Sith. And like Gus said, major nostalgia. I mean, we should preface this by saying, and I don't want to speak for Gus, but me personally, I adore, and that's not an over-exaggeration, I adore the prequels. I really love the prequels, and a lot of that boils down to the fact that it's my Star Wars. Recently, I was watching an interview between Hayden Christensen and, I almost called him Obi-Wan Kenobi, Hayden Christensen and Ewan McGregor, and they were talking about, like, do you think that the prequels were wrongfully, you know, hated on? And they both agreed that it kind of was, and they said that it wasn't hated amongst the people that they made them for, and that's why it's seeing this resurgence, is because the people that they made them for are now grown-ups, and they enjoy them because that's what they grew up with. It's their Star Wars, and that's very much true for me. I've always enjoyed the prequels. I fell into a little bit of a thing with like Attack of the Clones and Phantom Menace and all these people, you know, just it was the popular thing to say, oh, the prequels suck, the prequels suck, the prequels are terrible. And so I started kind of having that feeling. But the more I went back and watched them, I found that I was actually watching them more than the original trilogy. And here we are talking about Revenge of the Sith, one of my favorite Star Wars movies. I just wanted to precursor that if you're here for the hate, if you're here for the hate, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it from me. I am a very positive Star Wars fan, which is a rare thing indeed. But Gus, on the other hand, what are your thoughts on the prequels and Revenge of the Sith?
Will you find hate here for the prequels?
No, they won't.
Yeah, indeed. And
Watto is the whole reason why.
I am a prequel sympathizer. Not only that, I'm a prequel promoter. Growing up, you know, I did grow up with these movies, yes, indeed. But during the teenage years, into my 20s, I was a prequel hater, if not a denier.
It's the popular thing.
Yeah, I was just like, well, to be objectively observant, I guess, not this one that we're about to discuss, but episode one and two are very flawed movies to the point where they could be considered poorly made or maybe not as good as they could have been. But what I've grown to realize is, It's the meat on here that's good. The story and the concepts are incredible, and like the world stuff of these Star Wars movies are great. It's just the execution, you know. It's just the directing choices are a little odd.
A lot of people find the politics of the prequels to be very boring, and I actually sit back and the older I get that people are like, oh, this is gonna fly. Like, kids want to see, you know, trade embargoes and, you know, blockades and all this stuff. Like, growing up, like, oh, like that's gonna really fly over with the kid. Hey, that's a valid argument. It didn't fly with me. I didn't understand it. I also didn't give a shit. Like, there were lightsabers and pod races in the prequels, and lava and droids and like intense lightsaber battles and crazy music. To a kid, I'm huge. But to like watch all that stuff, it was insane. As a kid, and now that I'm older,
as a kid, I like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, but and I stand by the fact that C-3PO is more annoying than Jar Jar. But the older I get, the more I actually really enjoy the politics of the prequels, because it has one conjoined perfectly. Not perfectly told, perfectly set up. It's all set up very well. Story. Like, how does the Empire come to be? How does Palpatine come to control? How does he manipulate his way to become emperor in this republic? And it's really cool to watch and see. And the older you get, the more you appreciate it, because there's a lot of things you maybe didn't understand as a kid. And it all culminates in Revenge of the Sith, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, on paper, the whole story of this original, or the prequel trilogy, rather, is extremely interesting. And an excellent story. It's just the execution that's not so great. So as a kid, I didn't know any better or different, and I love these movies. And as I was getting at during my teenage and even early 20s, I hated these movies. I would even say, like, there's only three Star Wars movies kind of thing. But, you know, Revenge of the Sith, I was always like, but that one's actually kind of good. But I think I was like 23, and it just clicked with me. Like, it just happened. I was like, you know what? I actually don't mind Jar Jar Binks. It was like, I don't mind episode one, and I like parts of episode two. And then I was like, and then three, that's my fourth favorite Star Wars movie. I liked all the original ones, and then Revenge of the Sith, and then the other one. But as soon as I made that declaration in my life, it just instantly changed. Like, I was like, they're not that bad. Then it's just like, no, damn it, I love them.
Yeah,
I do. And I even said earlier, they're not executed very well. You could say the dialogue's awful, or the direction is bad. And you know what? It might be. It is. But now I say it might be, because you can call it rose-tinted glasses, you can call it nostalgia. It doesn't matter, because it's just how I am and how I feel, and it's not going to change. I am blinded to those things. I love these movies. And especially Revenge of the Sith.
They're honestly not as bad as they're, you know, as people hit them, like, tend to think they are. I mean, I think that there's more good in the prequels than there is bad overall.
Ben and I discuss this stuff a lot, you know, off mic, and like phone conversations and such, but we could be looking at it as two grumpy old men, in that, like, the sequel trilogy, which we now have, we're all like, oh, these aren't good, they're not as good as the other ones. And Ben always makes the argument that the ones who grow up with the sequel trilogy are going to look fondly on them. Yes. And that could very well be. I even said this on the Brothers Movie Factory, I believe, but I'll say it again. I don't know, because although people argue the prequel trilogy is a mess, at least had an overarching connecting story, and it all makes sense together. Whereas a sequel trilogy, there is no vision. It changes from film to film, and it feels sloppy and less whole.
True. I guess my thought process, though, is that, so you have kids that were our age growing up. They don't care about the story. I mean, I know I didn't care too much about the story. Even if it was disconjointed half the time, I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I was there for the simplistic action and all that stuff, and the lore that was, the minimal lore that I was actually picking up and all that as a young kid growing up with these movies. I mean, I was, what, 99? Was this Phantom Menace, 98?
99.
Yeah, so I was 5 years old, and then I think I was 7 years old.
You were four.
I was 4 years old, then I think I was 6 or 7 years old after that, and then another three, I was probably 10.
You were 10.
So
this movie came out May 19th, 2005.
Yeah, so what's crazy to me, or my thought process, though, is that, like, you know, I literally grew up with these movies, and I never once really truly disliked them. I always enjoyed them for what they were, enjoyed parts of them and everything like that, and honestly grew to really, really like them as I got older. Now, the sequel trilogy, obviously not my favorite, but there's tons of fantastic stuff I really like. Like, I love Kylo Ren. I still love Kylo Ren. I think he's one of the best Star Wars characters out there. The reason I say that I think the kids that are growing up with us today is because, you know, they're going to have that rose-tinted glasses. Maybe they're going to realize maybe the story's not the best, similar to how we can sit through of the prequels and be like, oh, the acting's not good. The line delivery's bad. The direction's bad. Some of these CGI scenes are terrible now. This, that, and the other. We can recognize all the bad and still love the movies. Am I boring you? But we look at things like the sequel trilogy, and sure, there's a lot of bad there, but the kids that grow up with them, the kids that are going to Disney and seeing Rey and Chewbacca and Kylo Ren walking around in the First Order soldiers and not the clone troopers, not going to Disney and seeing regular old stormtroopers, not going to the movies and seeing these movies that we grew up watching, but seeing these bombastic, big, you know, new films with Rey and Finn and Poe and all that.
They're not seeing R2-D2. They're seeing that BB-8.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that it'll be a similar thing to us. The kids will grow up. You'll see it. It'll be all of a sudden, it'll go from you have to hate the sequels to they're not that bad to a resurgence in popularity to just accepting it. And then years from now, like, Daisy Ridley will be in like her 60s and they're like, they're bringing Daisy Ridley back, and everyone will be like, fuck yeah. Like, that's what'll happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt it, but I doubt it.
Yeah. I'm a fan of several things, like a hardcore fan of several things. And I literally am disappointed in every single fan base I'm a hardcore fan of, mostly due to the fact because I just want to be positive, and most fans in the fan bases that I'm a fan of do not want to be positive. They want to hate everything, and you so know, I stay out of most arguments.
I get you there, and I also try to be that. I do bash on some things I love often, but like I'll take Star Wars, for example, with that sequel trilogy. I love Force Awakens. I went and saw that movie 3 times in the theater, and I bawled my eyes out every time.
Yeah. I mean, that's my most seen movie in a theater ever. I saw that movie 6 times in theaters.
6 times? Mm-hmm. Holy fuck. Yeah. I think I actually saw it 4 times. I'm thinking of it.
I saw it 6 times. I saw it 3 times opening weekend, then I took my sister-in-law, then I went with my buddy Pork again, and then I went by myself one last time.
Yeah.
6 times total.
That's excellent. I think it's a great movie. I know people.
I took dad, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think you did. I know people bash it and say it's just a remake of the original one. It's not. It's just using familiarity. Like, yeah. If it's not broke, don't fix it kind of business.
If it wasn't Starkiller Base, if it was, you know, not another base that they needed to assault, but instead, you know, I don't even know what you would do. If it was a giant battle, similar to the end of The Last Jedi or something like that, like just one big land battle, infantry battle, that would be different.
I love that movie, and I think it certainly created a lot of promise and ideas, not only with just from the beginning to literally the end, is what I was going to get at with the presentation of Luke Skywalker. He's still out there. I'm almost gonna cry saying it, but Rey holding up that lightsaber, no words, just at the hilt, and in her eyes, it's like, please help us. And it goes to credits. Oh, so good. But then Last Jedi comes along. And here comes the issue. We have a different director and a different writer, and there was no overall plan. So you like make that movie. What's going to happen the next one? Make it up. And so you make it up, and you're like, I'm going to do my own thing, which I respect. And they just went in a different direction here and there. I liked Last Jedi when I first saw it. Then it like I had weird feelings about it for a long time. It was only like semi recently. Like I rewatched it, I think, right before Rise of Skywalker came out. So 2019. It's been a couple years now. I rewatched it. I'm like, you know what? That's actually a pretty good movie. There's only a couple things I don't really care for.
I think it's the best of the sequel trilogy.
I don't know. I disagree.
It's not my favorite. Force Awakens is my favorite.
Sure, I get what you're saying. Like best made. I would almost say that, but all that stuff on what's the casino planet? Something bite.
Canto Bite.
Canto Bite. Everything on there, it just feels wasteful. And
hey, man, if it would have been pod racers and not those stupid horse things. If it was pod racers, if it was a giant pod race, like a pod race chase scene through the streets of Canto Bight, a billion times better, right? Like, that would have immediately been better. Why does no one think of these things?
It would have made more sense.
Give me millions of dollars.
Yeah, it would have at least connected to the Star Wars universe in some way. It felt so like we're over here now, you know, as opposed to like within this universe. Anyway, I don't want to get stuck on all this stuff. It's the fact that like Last Jedi didn't sit too well, but Rise of Skywalker, it was going to be a home run. It had to be. There was no way it couldn't. And
somehow Palpatine returned.
It was going to like wrap it all together, like bring it all together. Instead, it just didn't.
But you're not alone.
It's disappointing. And because the Rise of Skywalker, which is my least favorite of all the Star Wars movies, and I'm talking Solo and Rogue One, all that stuff. Because it was so disappointing to me personally, it did taint my feeling for the sequel trilogy overall. Now, there are some things in Rise of Skywalker that I do indeed like.
Do we call for the release of the Abrams cut?
No. No, we got it.
The 400-hour long version? The 4-hour long version?
If it had a more satisfying ending, then yeah, sure. Yes. Final fight. I rewatched that final fight a couple weeks ago because I hadn't seen it since the theater, at least the ending anyway. And I'm watching it. I'm like, holy shit, that's really quick and disappointing.
Yeah, but you're not alone.
I'm just talking Rey versus the Emperor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, this is really quick and pointless.
I still stand by it would have been, I mean, there's a billion things I think you can literally sit there and in hindsight 2020 pick that movie apart and be like, this should have not happened, this shouldn't have happened, this could have been fixed, this doesn't really make much sense. They lean really heavy onto like the force power of healing, which was like,
yeah, that was new.
Not a thing. I get it, like it is a thing, like they do talk about it in like books and they talk about it in like all these other things, like sure, but people always talk about like, oh, they're, you know, Vader being able to pull a ship out of the sky in Kenobi, or you know, all this stuff, like that's such a huge difference in power, this, that, and the other, that's ridiculous. But like, and everyone shit on the fact that, you know, Luke could project himself across the galaxy using the Force. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. That, to me, like, that's really cool. And that's like, everyone's like, oh, that's a ridiculous amount of power. This, then, that, that's so unbelievable. But like, healing, like just being able to use your life force to heal others, like
that actually makes more sense than anything.
Yeah. But it's also
they even discuss that the Sith can do that in the movie we are attempting to talk about tonight.
Yes.
In Revenge of the Sith, he could manipulate the midichlorians to create life.
Yes, but he's like the only one that knows how to do that.
Not from a Jedi.
Yeah, like, so, I don't know. It is very, they are sloppy. I stand by the fact that the more
Rey, Rey is a Palpatine.
Yes, she's Skywalker, though. Rey, Palpatine, Skywalker, Solo, Inat. Organa.
What I do like about Star Wars in general is that whether we're discussing how disconjointed the sequel trilogy is,
in a very disconjointed episode about episode 3,
it is all connected. See how I'm getting back here? It is all connected. It's a saga, right? So it's one. That is what they call it. It is perceived to be this giant story. And what has impressed me, we've been talking about the movies we like and such, like almost in a ranking sort of way, for a long time, Revenge of the Sith that sit right at number 4. And then even when Force Awakens came out, I'm talking 2015 here, that replaced it. That became my number 4. But over the years now, Revenge of the Sith has grown. It's creeped up to number 3. It took out Force Awakens and Return of the Jedi, which I never thought was possible. But something in me, every time I watch it, it's just so emotional and satisfying, and I think it has some of the best stuff in all of Star Wars. And it, honest to God, it's even creeping up to number 2. I don't know if it'll do it. My number 2 is the original, Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope.
What, yours goes 5, 4, 3, 6, 7?
Yeah.
And then I forgot we skipped this.
8 is honestly, it would go after 7, it would go Phantom Menace. Then it would probably go Attack of the Clones now. Maybe.
Least favorite? Second to last.
8, and then I'd do Rogue One, Solo. And then
I'm saying like Skywalker.
The numbered ones. 8 and 2 could flip-flop.
Yeah. Mine's definitely 4 is my favorite, which is a very unpopular opinion. 4, 5, 3. Then I actually like Force Awakens better than 6. So 7, 6. And then it gets a little tricky because then it's like 7, 6. And then I actually like Phantom Menace. I enjoy watching. I'll say it that way. I enjoy watching Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones better than The Last Jedi and then Rise of Skywalker.
I might be there too. I'm not too sure. It's one of those deals. Attack of the Clones has been in my life longer. I have a lot of nostalgic feelings and memories of that movie.
It's the first time I've ever heard someone clap in a theater.
I like a memory like that. You know, I just remember that stuff.
I love Jango Fett.
Yeah, I haven't seen Last Jedi enough, and the ending doesn't sit too well with me, and that Canto Bite stuff. So
slowest chase scene in history, the Holdo maneuver.
Oh, I like that.
It is a really cool shot. Someone was talking to me a while ago about how it was like, it does ruin all of Star Wars because like they could have done that to like the Death Star. I'm like, you're not wrong.
We took our father to see Last Jedi as well. We went and saw it in 3D.
Mm.
That was the last 3D movie I saw. And father's blind in one eye. He couldn't watch a 3D movie. So he just watched a blurry movie. Anywho.
It sounded awesome.
Yeah, sounds great. So, Revenge of the Sith's been creeping up in my rankings. And I know this sounds like we're now just getting to Revenge of the Sith, but
and we are.
no one's ever really gone.
Yeah,
we honestly viewed this episode as kind of discussing Star Wars in general.
I mean, we've talked about Star Wars. This is the fourth time we've talked about Star Wars.
We actually had a Star Wars discussion episode, I believe, as well.
There
so a lot of this might be reiteration.
No one cares.
They just want a fresh one. And we have new opinions.
And we're going to give it to them.
Yeah. You know, I'll say a good story about Revenge of the Sith. So this movie was coming out. We're big Star Wars fans. I'm 14 at the time. You're 10. You might have been 9 at the time of like the hype of this movie, right? And I went out and I bought a lightsaber. My first real lightsaber, you did too. Or maybe we got them as gifts.
We got them as gifts because you got the Dooku one, right?
I got Count Dooku, and he got Yoda. And Ben was at a disadvantage because the Yoda lightsaber was very dinky short.
The hell.
But I love that lightsaber hilt, and I still do to this day. I no lie, recently I almost bought a replica hilt of that from like the Star Wars store in like Disney, and it's like $1,000. I'm like, maybe. But I couldn't in good conscience do something like that. But like buying those lightsabers and having lightsaber duels on our little basketball court we had in our home growing up. We were in a play at the time.
Yes. And I was going to say, I thought we got those as toys. I thought that's why we got them. I thought that was gifts for the play.
Were they?
I think that's what it was. I think they were gifts for the play. Like, Mom, I think Mother bought them for us because it was like, you guys did great. Here's a present. You can pick out a toy or something like that. And we bought lightsabers. Or we got lightsabers.
Yeah, that might have been it. The director's son.
Yes.
Was obsessed with Star Wars. And the daughter, too.
He called me Lando.
Nice.
Yeah.
They would come up to us and ask for trivia questions. And damn it, they knew most of them.
Yeah.
They knew most of the answers. We'd make them up, you know, off the top of our heads, but...
What's Jar Binks' first name? Go.
Yeah. You know, just memories like that associated with this movie. But honestly, one of my biggest ones... this movie was my first ever date.
Hey.
Like a real date.
Your first kiss.
Mwah. No, it wasn't that. But I was like, I asked the girl out on a date. Let's go to the movies. The new Star Wars picture's coming at.
She's like, I've never seen Star Wars before. And you're like, that's okay. I have.
Yeah. You know, mother or father or both of them gave me money to take this girl out on a date. Well, turns out, date comes. I think mother drove us to the theater, but the girl, she was only allowed to go on this date if she brought her little brother, who is even younger than you.
Hey, yeah.
And at the time, he had to have been like 7. So I went on a date where I was kind of third wheeling with the girl and her brother and me.
Awkward.
It did. I sat in the middle.
How about?
Held both their hands.
Yeah, when he got scared.
Yeah. But I just remember, like, I was so nervous for this date. But as the movie started, I like zoned out. There was only me and Anakin Skywalker. That's all that matters.
She looks over, sees you crying when the movie's over. You look over and she's gone.
No one's ever really gone.
Yeah.
I did cry even at 14 years old.
Obviously.
And those tears have only increased over time.
You know, another. Go ahead.
I was just going to say another quick nostalgic thought I had. This is a little more recent. It is definitely pre-2015. At the basement at the house that we are, you know, our mother currently lives in.
Oh.
No, not original. We hooked up a surround sound system down there and in your bedroom. And we hooked it up like max capacity, like 6 surround speakers.
Yeah.
And we tested it with the lightsaber duel, Anakin versus Obi-Wan. And it sounded fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And even recently, like I have a pretty banging surround sound system. I was introducing this movie to the lady and we were watching it and she really liked the movie. But when it came to that duel, I usually keep the volume at like 63. I cranked it to 75. I wanted to feel every warm of that swing.
The cockles of your heart.
Indeed. What kind of sweet memories do you have of Revenge of the Sith?
My big one, I had to look up the date to remember, but it was funny enough. I just watched a video on this the other day, like a retro review of it, but the video game tie-in to this, I had when it was coming out, I believe it was GamePro when the movie was coming out. The GamePro had an article on the DS version and the PlayStation 2 version, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Christmas of 2005 that we got a PS2, correct?
That would make sense, yes.
Okay. So before we had a PS2, this tie-in game was coming out. Because this movie was coming out in, it came out May 19th, I believe, of 2005. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So before we got a PS2. I had my DS, though. I had a DS at the time. That makes sense, right? I had a DS. Yes.
No, these are details that don't matter. We might have had a PS4 at this time. Because I'm thinking of a PS2. I'm thinking of my SmackDown games. So, like, if we got a PS2 at the end of 2005 is what you're saying, my first game with it was like SmackDown versus Raw, but SmackDown versus Raw 2006 was the title of a game. I don't think, would that game have came out in 2006?
Chew your gum. I don't know. To be honest,
a lot of those games come out like the year before.
I guess,
know?
This is what my basic point of the moral of the story is. They were talking in the Game Informer, or Game Pro rather, they were talking about this tie-in game and how the lightsaber battling was really good in it. But also what was really good in the tie-in game, which at that time it was becoming very, very less and less popular for tie-in games, right? They're very much just like phoning it in. But I remember that they talked about how, like, the dogfighting, the ship combat was really good. And I recall, I don't know how I swung it or whatever, but I got that game on the DS. I got Revenge of the Sith, the tie-in game, on the DS, and it was really, really fun. And I beat it. I remember playing through it and beating it, and it was an early game for me to beat. I have this, like, one of those, like, faint memories of, like, playing it on the couch while everyone was watching TV, like, on a Saturday night, and, like, honestly, it's a really cool game. You look it up, it's a really cool platformer. It, like, plays out like a brawler, so similar, like, for a more recent thing, like Streets of Rage or, Turtles Shredder's Revenge. It's very much like you beat all the enemies and move on. It's like a brawler, and you go back and forth, like into the foreground or background, and then on the touch screen you had your force powers that you could upgrade. So, like, you could upgrade how, like, hard you'd force push someone, or how hard you pull them in, or you could, like, throw your lightsaber. There was, like, cool, so you'd tap your touch screen, and there was a lot of cool things. What's interesting to me about that is I know I beat that game. I played and beat that game a month before the movie came out, because the game came out a month before the movie. The game came out on April 2nd. The movie came out May 19th.
You knew this. You knew this, the story before the movie even came out.
Yeah, but it probably didn't register with me. But still, yeah, I just thought that was so interesting. It is a really cool game, though. I do highly recommend just watching a video on it. I just watched a review. I think it might have been the channel Retro Rewind. I think it was him. I might be wrong. But still, they, like, raved about it too. It was a really cool game.
I just looked up images of the game just now, and I totally forgot about that game.
Yeah,
but
the sprites are really cool and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that game. It was fun. It was a good game. I totally forgot about that. Makes you wonder where to go. Did you sell it?
I definitely sold it, but it is on the it's on the agenda of games that I do want to, like, get back for the collection. My DS collection isn't necessarily one that I'm, like, hugely concerned about, because I do have most of the games that I wanted in it, and that being four games. Like, I care less about Pokemon and stuff, but... Sure. But,
You talking about that game reminded me, too, another nostalgia thought, memory with Revenge of the Sith. The school, the middle school we went to, near the closing years, we would be kind of forced to do this Pennsylvania Junior Academy of Science. And you had to make, like, a scientific presentation, basically. It took a couple months, and you'd present it to people at a university, and you'd get scored. And if you placed in first, you'd move on and present it at, like, State College. And I remember presenting it at this was at Penn State, so, because I did get a first one year this year. And I remember walking around the campus, going to their bookstore, and in the bookstore they had one of those like DK books. Was like all the information on all the little details of the movie, and they had Revenge of the Sith. And I remember flipping through it and seeing Palpatine in emperor mode, like scarred up and everything, like, holy shit, how's this happen? And it shows his lightsaber hilt. I'm like, oh my god, I need to see this movie.
Like, spoilers.
Not only that,
you bet.
Yeah, it was like not pre-internet, but like I didn't have access to internet all the time like we do now. And I just remember like wanting this book so bad, just so I could like look at the lightsaber hilt of Palpatine, because it is kind of a cool design.
Hey, even, you know, it's funny sometimes, like that was, what, at this point, 12 years ago? No, wait, 2005. That was much more than that. That was almost 20
17
years ago.
Yeah,
I was thinking, I was like 2022, 2010, but it wasn't 2010. Yeah, 17 years ago. It's funny to think, I say this every now and again to people, is like, it's funny to think just how much has changed in that span of time, where it's like, yeah, like now it's, you could have that image on Twitter, like within days of like the within seconds of the information being released. And it's like very hard to avoid spoilers.
I want to see that lightsaber hilt. I already found it. Like, right now.
I mean, what's like, it's funny how simplistic that is too, though. It's like how deprived Star Wars people were too at that point in time. I mean, this was just the sixth movie, and there was books, sure, but like to see the Emperor's lightsaber hilt, like that was a big deal. To see how the Emperor became the Emperor and like got into, and seeing Ian McDiarmid turn into, or is it McDiarmid or McDiarmid?
That's a great question. I always say McDiarmid, but it could very well be.
But to see him like become what he is in the original trilogy was really cool. I mean, I guess we're 40 minutes in here to recording, and we have not talked about the movie truly. So maybe we should touch a little bit about it. First thing I do want to discuss is the opening of this movie. Maybe one of, if not the best, overall openings to the movie, like just introduction, bam, in your face, we're in it right now.
A Star Wars movie?
Yeah.
Opening?
So we have in episode one, it starts, it's pretty much a wet fart. It starts with them flying into the trade blockade and
yeah, that one's
stuff.
Poopy. Attack of the Clones is it's basically awful.
Yeah. The decoy getting blown up.
It's just kind of like not as exciting, even as the first one.
Three, a gigantic dogfight following two Jedi starships. Four, which I think is the most iconic opening.
It's so iconic, so it's hard to say that's not as like that's not the best.
Have six or five. The opening is the Star Destroyer, or no? Yeah, they're flying off probes, right?
It's like Hoth, right?
Yeah, and then they fire off a probe, and then it lands in Hoth, and it starts, with the Tauntaun and everything. That one's not even, like, that exciting. I mean, obviously Luke gets...
There's the whole battle of Hoth, but that's not the opening.
No, I'm talking, like, the first 2 minutes after.
It's either the best, or it's a close second.
Yeah, because, like,
I would almost have to say it's a close second, just because of how iconic the original one is.
Force Awakens has a great opening.
It does. But not... It's not as good as 3 or 4.
Nah. Yeah, I mean, but that's literally...
our opinion.
3 starts with the equivalent of an end of a Star Wars movie battle, right?
Yeah.
Like, that beginning could have been easily the end. Like, oh, we have to save, the Supreme Chancellor. Like, we got to save him. And that's the end of the movie. Like, you know, it could have been easily the end of, like, Attack of the Clones.
I introduced these movies, the prequel trilogy, to my girlfriend recently, and... the opening dogfight scene didn't even finish yet, and she was like, this is already better than the last two movies.
Yeah. It's insane, the quality and all that stuff. It's a lot of fun to see. The CGI still holds up, honestly. It's visually striking, seeing a dogfight take place in front of Coruscant, which I personally think is one of the coolest planets that they've introduced. And I'm disappointed that in all of the new Star Wars content, they have yet to go back to Coruscant. And it blows my mind, because Coruscant is such a cool place that they really haven't tapped into very much. Like,
don't they blow it up in Force Awakens?
So I thought so too, because they say they blew up the Senate, or they blew up, you know, the New Republic or whatever, but I've looked it up, and I swear I've seen it that they didn't blow it up, but let me double check on that. But I'm talking like between the two, between Return, I mean, because like Mandalorian, takes place before Episode 7. None of the new content has really taken place after the sequel trilogy. Like, Obi-Wan could have easily gone to Coruscant. Instead, they're like, no, this need to go to Coruscant.
Flappy on this desert planet, because we know for a fact that this Anakin Skywalker, this Darth Vader, hates sand.
Yes.
Hates it.
He hates sand, and hey, you know what the Star Wars fans want to see? Tatooine.
Especially now more than ever.
Yeah, because they love sand.
They spit it out on every Star Wars show. You get Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett, especially Book of Boba Fett, Kenobi, starts and ends with sand.
What planets did the First Order kill or destroy? They killed Quartilius, Ratio, Hossian, Cordato, and Hossian Prime, which none of these planets have ever been introduced. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
would have been more effective if they blew up Coruscant.
Yeah,
saying.
Hell yeah. No, yeah, like, I love Coruscant. But yeah, seeing it like that as the backdrop, and these giant Republican fighters, and these giant droid ships, and, you know, the cool vulture droids, which are the droid ships, and, like, mm-hmm. the buzzsaw droids were cool. R4 dies. Like, there's really cool stuff. And then, like, yeah, them crashing, like, crash landing onto Grievous's ship. That whole opening is just really action-packed. You see a really cool battle between the, I think they're called Magna Droids, which are, like, the guards, Magna Guards. Mm-hmm. You see, like, them fight with, like, these vibro spears. You get a good lightsaber fight.
Grievous.
Yeah, introduce Grievous, which he's just awesome looking. I would love to see more of him. I know I have obviously seen more of him through watching Star Wars Clone Wars, but I'd love, like, more backstory on him too. There's a little bit in Clone Wars, but not a lot. Maybe a good book. But
if they're really hungry for content on old Disney Plus, they could probably do like a 4-episode Grievous show on just how he becomes the way he is, like cyborg, and how he becomes the general of the droid army. It could be interesting.
In the original canon, I don't know if it's still the same canon, but I'm pretty sure something. I think he might have, like, sacrificed. He sacrificed himself, or he went down with his ship, and he got blown up, and, like, that was all that remained. They, like, brought him back to life.
I mean, it'd be very easy to explain why he is kind of so cowardice, just because he's so afraid of, like, dying, in a sense.
I mean, there's an amazing episode of Rebels where they're, like, they, like, infiltrate his home. And he's mm-hmm. just killing them all, like, very slowly.
You showed me that episode. It was a good episode. Doesn't he fight Ahsoka in that one,
too? I think so. He gets two of his lightsabers, too.
It'd be interesting. But, you know, you got this great opening, and, hey, this is where the fun begins.
Yeah.
You
right off the bat see, like, some good darkness with Anakin, because you get Count Dooku versus Anakin 2, which is way better than the Attack of the Clones fight. Obi-Wan does deliver a very poor line in that fight, which is Sith Lords are a speciality, and then proceeds to get his leg cut and almost crushed.
Sith Lords are a speciality, and he has only fought one, and I guess he did win.
Yeah. I mean, technically, if you watch Clone Wars, he has fought more. So he's fought Dooku several times. He's fought Grievous. He fought Asajj Ventress several times. He fought Darth Maul multiple times. And he fought Savage Opress as well.
Don't you know? Clone Wars and Rebels, they don't exist. They're not animated. Real. They're like birds. They're not real.
They're animated. It doesn't count. But anyways, it's just you start to see more of the seeds being planted by Palpatine, which are really good. Him getting him to kill Count Dooku is great. I mean, this movie's also has to be the most memeable of all Star Wars, right?
Yeah, maybe of all of Star Wars. Yeah, I think it is.
Right in that beginning, we got do it.
It might even be the most quotable.
Oh, by far.
Everyone always dogs on Hayden Christensen's delivery, including myself, but damn it, it makes it quotable.
Yeah. I'll say this. What have I done? Hayden Christensen, his delivery might be bad, but his way of conveying silent emotion is very good, actually.
Yeah. He's got a great look.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to say he's bad in this movie. But he's not.
No, I really don't think he is. I think a lot of it is the dialogue that he was handed.
Sure, and some of the direction.
That opening scene, him landing that giant Republican Star Destroyer, or not Starship, after defeating Dooku. And then, you know, you do start to see kind of where the movie's going to head with Padme saying that she's pregnant and like all that stuff. And that kind of leads into him having his visions of the future, which are set up. You know, that's another thing, like, I never really tied together, you know, as a kid. But we talk about how, like, yeah, these movies aren't like great, but at least they tie multiple things together. You know, in episode 2, Anakin consistently has visions of his mother dying. And then when he goes to her and finds her, he's too late and she's killed. Similar in this, it ties right in. He's having visions of Padme dying. And he knows that it's not going to change. He knows that that's just what's going to happen if he doesn't stop it in time. So right there, it like builds on the stress of the whole situation. A lot of times like people will say like, oh, he turns so quick. But, you know, he knows what will happen, and it's always been there too. But
I disagree too. I don't think he turns quick at all. I think he could only watch this movie. If someone's never seen Star Wars, they could just watch this singular movie and they would feel satisfied with the turn of Anakin. I guess he's kind of dark the whole time, I suppose, because in the opening scene we see him cut someone's head off and he says, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, even I know you just said the animated movie or animated shows aren't real, but there's an episode where I forget his name, but it's one of the people from the Trade Federation, and they've kidnapped Padme and he just force chokes the shit out of him. Like, he's, like, trying to get information out of him. Yeah, and he just force chokes him in the animated show. There's even an episode in the animated show where they basically do an Interstellar. And they end up, like, inside, like, a world within a world. They're on, like, a planet, basically, that's, like, has three entities. And the entities is literally, like, the dark side, the light side, and the balance. And, like, Anakin is going...
What's JFK that? And a mummy.
Yeah, exactly. But Anakin's like going down the dark side the entire time, and I think in the end he is like the balance by the end or something like that. He is Yu-Gi-Oh.
I did just watch a interview with George Lucas where he explains that the Chosen One is and always has been Anakin Skywalker. Yeah,
he's the balance. He's the dark and the light. Yeah. He's both.
Always the Sith, there's always two. And when there was only one, he's like, well, I guess I gotta step up.
Guess I'll die.
Guess I'll be a Sith. I'll become Darth Vader because I killed Dooku. Now there's only one. I guess it's gotta be two.
Vader. I mean, I don't want to, like, just go through this, but, some of my favorite moments in Star Wars are in this movie. I'm, like I said, we're at 50 plus minutes right now. So I mean, that scene, I said how Hayden Christensen's facial acting, his portrayal of emotion, is really good, just in terms of, like, nonverbal emotion. And that scene after Palpatine, you know, kind of reveals that he's the Sith Lord, but he knows how to save Padme and all that stuff, and he reports him to the Jedi Council, reports Palpatine to the Jedi Council. They tell him to wait there, and there's that scene of Padme, or the shot of Padme, like, looking out, and Anakin looking out, and then he, like, starts to cry. And, like, that's really good directing. It's a really good shot, and it's really good acting. Like, it's really well done and portrayed.
The music's excellent at that point.
Music's great. That all that leading into is fantastic, and right up until him ultimately killing Mace Windu. Like, Mace Windu has Palpatine down. Now, people always are like, oh, he had Palpatine, but Palpatine obviously was faking. He was playing possum. So, you know, to be fair, Palpatine probably wasn't going to let him kill him. Like, if Mace Windu tried, like, he probably was going to find a way out of it. But, I mean, hell, that's another one of my favorite quotes of the whole movie, is like, don't let him kill me. But also, the just for whatever reason, just I like, he just kind of yeah, it's so great. Even when he finishes and he just fucking orgasms, he's like, ah, like, it's so good.
Do you think also, maybe not even the case that he could have beat him, because that's always been the argument, if he could have beat him, why'd he let himself get all, like, burnt up and mutated like that? Do you think the reason maybe not be that he was overall manipulating Anakin, but because of things we've learned in, like, Rise of Skywalker, there's just an infinite amount of Palpatines, basically. There's clones galore. Or there could be.
I don't necessarily know, because he does, even his clone in Rise of Skywalker is pretty disgusting looking. I one of two things that he would, like, allow himself to give. Either it isn't, he wasn't trying to. If he was allowing himself, I would say it maybe be something along the lines of, like, he uses that to gain control of the Senate later on.
Which he's, like, certainly did.
Yeah, he's like, the attack on my life has left me scarred. The attack on the Jedi. So he uses it, like, to his advantage. And, you know, even though we know from Rise of Skywalker that someone was interested enough to have sex with him, which is a sight to think about.
Midichlorians to create life.
Or maybe it was a clone. I think that's what they said it was. It was a rogue clone of Palpatine that had... So really, Rey is his daughter, not his granddaughter, or something like that. I don't know. It was a really dumb idea. Anyway,
hold a Zeus.
Yeah, it was a really dumb idea. Anyways, yeah, that whole sequence is awesome. It's most quotable. I found so many quotes right in here. But, like, I need him. Or, like, fucking, that's a great Samuel L. Jackson line. Just him screaming.
Yeah. He's too dangerous to be left alive.
It's the most quotable stuff. People are, like, dogging on the dialogue. Meanwhile, it's some of the best dialogue in Star Wars.
Don't make me kill you. Then I will do what I must.
But, yeah, no, I mean... Then that, the from that moment, that's about halfway through the movie. From that moment,
that's probably, you're entering the last third, if we're being fancy and technical.
That's a 3-hour long movie.
It's two and a half, and from there he goes to the temple and kills younglings, and then he goes to Mustafar. So yeah, the lightsaber duel at the end is 20 minutes long. So
yeah. And what is cool about, like, all of it, that does get enhanced by things like Rebels, is, like when they're at the temple, you know, after, and Obi-Wan and Yoda are at the temple, afterwards, I feel like I said Yoda, like from someone from Pittsburgh, like Yoder, Yoder.
that's the female.
That's Yoda Yodel or whatever. But glad they made her canon again, for sure. but in Kenobi. But
did they?
Oh no, no, I'm thinking of in the it's in I just played Jedi Fallen Order. It was in Jedi Fallen Order. Someone mentions it. He's like, "You speak of Master Yoda." He's like, "No, Master Yaddle." But what's it called? In Rebels, Kanan has a holocron. I think it was a holocron. It was a recording of sorts of Obi-Wan warning people of the clones. Like, he, because they mention it in Revenge of the Sith, that he's like, "Let's reroute the signal," or something like that, warn people. And that's what they do, like, because they were sending, like, the Jedi Temple's under attack, you must return to Coruscant, and then the Jedi would come and they'd kill them. They'd, like, called them, basically. And so, they're in Rebels, they actually show that, like, Obi-Wan had a thing. And so, but yeah, no, it,
Tying it all together.
Yeah, no, but it's, like, everything leading up to that final battle, Obi-Wan versus Anakin, Yoda versus Darth Sidious. I mean, I know people don't necessarily like the Yoda Darth Sidious fight. I don't mind it at all. I think it's really cool and fun to see.
I think it's equally as epic too. It just doesn't have as much emotion behind it, but it has like the
you see the ultimate light versus the ultimate dark.
It's the fantasy aspect of it. Like people when they were younger, I'm talking older than us, they always wanted to see Yoda fight in general, but Yoda, who's like the master of the Jedi, against the Emperor, who's the master of the Sith. And you finally get to see that, like, these 40-plus years later, almost, or yeah, 30-plus.
Which is awesome.
It was awesome.
But no one can argue this fact. No one can. The fight between Obi-Wan and Anakin on Mustafar is the greatest lightsaber battle of all time, period. You can't argue it. I don't. And if your argument against it is it's too over the top and ridiculous, you can go fuck yourself, because it's epic as fuck.
The one I hear all the time, and I have gotten into two debates I can think of about this that is too choreographed, and I make this point, and usually people are like, "You know what? Okay, I guess so." They say it's too choreographed, too much like dancing, right? These two know each other so well. Not only did Obi-Wan teach Anakin everything he knew, but Anakin is rebellious and fights in his own way and approaches things in his own way. But Obi-Wan is so wise. They just know each other so well.
Yeah.
That their duel would feel like a dance. Like, you're moving here, I'm moving here. You know, they're just perfect partners.
It's,
and that's shown throughout
that they are thinking of the same thing. I mean, they force push each other at the same time. They go for the same moves multiple times. They, you know, try to escape in certain directions or go for different things. And yeah, it's like very clear they try different things.
It's the tragedy of it all. And that's what makes it so emotional. Not just something awesome to look at.
And here.
And here.
The Battle of the Heroes is amazing. Track.
So, I will make a correction. That track is not called
Anakin versus Obi-Wan. Is that the right track? Okay.
It's called Anakin versus Obi-Wan. There is Battle of the Heroes. But if you listen to those two tracks, clearly Anakin versus Obi-Wan is pulled from Battle of the Heroes, but it's faster. It's, in my opinion, a little more epic, and it's longer for one, but the track Anakin versus Obi-Wan, I will also say this right here, right now, is, I want to say, it's my favorite piece of music in all of Star Wars. It is. The only thing that rivals it is the main theme. The main theme is obviously the best.
I think you have to say, like, main theme. That's something that we really haven't mentioned. I think we've mentioned it in the past on here on the show, but never in this episode. The prequels have overall better music than any others, I think.
No, I don't know.
It's hard. I mean, my favorite track of all of Star Wars is Binary Sunset. That's my favorite OG. Overall. Yeah. That one gets me a little lump in my throat every time. Maybe not the best. It does have definitely top It's definitely, I mean, what? Each one has, Duel of Fates is iconic.
Yeah.
Across the Stars.
Yeah, Across the Stars.
It's great.
The love theme, yeah.
And Anakin versus Obi-Wan. It's great.
Yeah, and Battle of the Heroes. Yeah, sure. That's three tracks. Those are the only three I can really think that are like, these are top tier.
The original Star Wars trilogy, song. We have Leia's theme, which is good. Han and Leia's theme is great.
You got the original theme. You got the Imperial March.
Binary Sunset. Got
Binary Sunset. You got the what's the one? It's like
Flight of the Falcon.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing to me? Like right now, like in this moment. And people at home, you can appreciate this. All 20 of you. And while I don't really know the sequel trilogy as well, but it's amazing to me that Star Wars, you can tell, we've talked about it very passionately on this episode and everything like that, but you can clearly tell that we love Star Wars when we know the names of the tracks.
Well, I'll challenge you another one. I think this one's in Empire, and I think it's another great, it's one of my favorite tracks. I don't know what it's called, but it's when they're in the asteroid field.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
It might be called Asteroid Field.
Yeah, I almost can't even hum it. Like, da 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 da.
Yeah,
yeah, I really like that one.
It's called The Asteroid Field.
I knew it.
I told you.
A lot of the music that I have a lot of nostalgic feelings for actually comes from that video game, Shadows of the Empire, on N64.
Yeah.
Because they just use existing Star Wars music and throw it in there. The Anakin versus Obi-Wan, that track is my favorite piece of music in all of Star Wars, other than the existing theme. And I know, I put that, even personally, I put that over the Imperial March,
yeah.
Mainly out of for emotional reasons.
It
affects me.
What's interesting is I think the Imperial March may have, just because of like sports, may have surpassed in terms of like, what's the common thought? Like everyone knows the, I think like everyone knows the Imperial March probably more than everyone knows the Star Wars theme.
Like, it could be, yeah,
because you know, they like play it at sports games and stuff, and no one's out there like playing the Star Wars theme to get people hyped up. Like the college band isn't; they're playing the Imperial March usually, and hell, even our high school played the Imperial March. That final battle, man, like it just the setting. One of my favorite shots in all of Star Wars is when they like clash and they're fighting. Basically, they're like doing a test of strength almost, and the lava's like exploding, and it's like the music crescendos perfectly. You even said some of the lines, like, I will do what I must. you underestimate my power. Ewan McGregor's acting at the end, his whole speech to Anakin, Hayden Christensen delivering one of the best line deliveries in all of Star Wars with just simply saying, I hate you. Like, that is phenomenal. You can give him props on that. Because his line delivery is great. His emotional acting is great, again. And the shots of it all. Him catching fire, burning to death. Obi-Wan leaving him there to die is just great.
And it leads to yet another quotable line. Still alive.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, another part of the, you know, Revenge of the Sith, of the prequel trilogy that people hate, they hate Darth Vader yelling no. And, you know, this might be because
I never understood it.
I grew up with it. Like, people are like, oh, he shows too much emotion. He's too much like a pussy. But, like, you see how Darth Vader was, Anakin was, at the end of Return of the Jedi. Like, he's all smiles. He's just a human. Like, he's, like, smiling. He's like, let me see you with my own eyes. And when he takes the helmet, he's just a guy. He's a human under that helmet. Like, right? And that, what's it? God damn it. I'm going to mess up his name. James Earl Jones. Yeah. I almost said Tommy Lee Jones, and that is wrong. No, I felt it. He was alive.
That is the Sunset Limited. That is the opposite end of everything there.
He was alive. I felt it. But that final line delivery, like, no, she was alive. I felt it. And then he's just getting so angry that he's literally just destroying everything around him, like crushing everything, and yells no. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's great. I'm getting chills talking about it. See, this is my big thing with Star Wars. It takes a lot of effort to just actively dislike something, and it takes probably more effort to enjoy it. But if you could just shut your brain off and not overthink things, just enjoy them, be like, that was really cool. That was a really cool moment, a really awesome moment, and not be like, oh, it's too sappy or weird or goofy or this, that, and the other. You can just sit back, turn your brain off, enjoy it. It makes things a lot better, because like I think that way a lot of times. Like, I'll be like, I really like that. I thought this was really cool. And my friends will be like, oh, it was really stupid. What are you talking about? It was like one of the corniest things I've ever seen. I'm like, ah, maybe I just like those epic moments. But that whole moment. I mean, are there things that they could have done better at the end? Like Padme simply losing the will to live instead of just saying like, yeah, she has complications. Like, it was that simple. But like, instead went
because
for
Anakin like choked her, you know, with his force choke. It did something to her, and she is dying because of that.
Yeah,
as
like,
opposed to losing the will
even,
to live.
Even people have speculated that Palpatine kills her to push him further over.
Canon or no?
I think they in the Darth Vader comic, not maybe that, but they allude to the possibility of Palpatine conceiving Anakin. Like, you
Anakin,
doing
yeah.
the midichlorians and everything.
Right, okay. That was going to be my next question, too. Is
they
that...
allude to that, I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha. He pulling a Zeus once again.
Yeah. But ultimately, yeah, this leads us right into Obi-Wan, the Kenobi show, which I don't want to like obviously talk about too much. We're going a little long here in terms of the episode. But I greatly enjoyed the show. I enjoyed a lot of it. I have come to not maybe agree with this point. I don't really know if it's a point that's going around. I think it would have been better told as a movie. Because there is a lot of bloat at the end of the day. And I feel like all the main things, like the main portions, they could have told all in a movie. In like a 2-hour-long movie, and it would have been better because it would have been tighter. I feel like that was a problem. It was a little bloated. All in all, I loved it. I thought it was really fun. I loved seeing Ewan McGregor back. I loved seeing Hayden Christensen back. And while I didn't like some of the things in it, some of those moments were just really cool to see.
Sure.
And you know, what's funny enough is I was very against Darth Vader and Obi-Wan fighting. Like,
he was before the show came out, he's like, I know Hayden Christensen's coming back, but I hope it's only in flashbacks. Like, I don't need any more of that. I don't need Anakin coming back. I don't need Darth Vader fighting Obi-Wan. You personally didn't need it. And then what was it? Episode 3.
Yeah.
Vader's walking through that town and Tatooine.
Destroying like, people.
You're like, all right.
Yeah.
I need more.
Well, because that was different, though. That was different than what I was expecting. That was cool because it was like Obi-Wan wasn't trying to fight. He was literally just running away. Like, he was just trying to, like, get out of there. And, you know, then on top of that, you had the finale fight between them. And while you and I both agreed that certain aspects of the fight maybe needed flipped a little bit,
mm-hmm.
or different things needed said, like, I thought of one the other day, which was like, why did Obi-Wan just leave Darth Vader there? Like, why didn't he just kill him in that moment?
Yeah. Sith are your speciality, then do your job.
Yeah,
guy.
It would have been better if he would have had that moment, that flashback, or that flash moment of seeing Luke in trouble, and he like had to get out of there. Like, that would have made more sense. Then he would have been pissed when he got there, and Reva just like turncoated again. But anyways, I really just want, I think overall, if you watch Revenge of the Sith and then Kenobi right into it, I think it really does expand on Anakin and Obi-Wan and that feeling of, you know, kinship and friendship with each other and, you know, master and apprentice and all that stuff. And while people say, you know, sit here and they nitpick and, oh, it ruins A New Hope. It ruins A New Hope. I think it adds to it. I mentioned how that line when he says, like, goodbye, Darth, and he calls him Darth instead of calling him Anakin in New Hope. You know, only a master of evil doth, which is the greatest burn in all of Star Wars. I don't know.
Like,
people have been really sitting on Leia not knowing Obi-Wan. Or like,
I personally don't give a shit about that.
They're like, oh, like, she doesn't react. I'm like, well, she hasn't seen him in probably 7 years. And
I think longer than that.
It's like, sure, he protected her. He saved her. But, you know, like, there are tons of people who are like, I haven't seen you since you were little. You're probably 10 years old. I'm like, who are you?
There's people I've known all my life. I'm like, hey, you.
Yeah, like,
I don't remember your name.
Sure, he saved her. Like, all right. And he helped her a lot. Like, I get it. But also a lot has happened. Oh, yeah, there's a fucking war going on around them. Oh, on top of that, like, she does remember him. People were like, oh, she doesn't remember him. But Luke opens, I might be crazy, I might be thinking of it, but when Luke opens, he says, I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you, and he says, I'm here with Ben Kenobi. He says Ben Kenobi, and she knows who Ben Kenobi is. She says, help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope, but in New Hope, she also says, like, Ben Kenobi? Like, so she knows him, pretty sure.
I don't know. I have to rewatch that part. I just rewatched A New Hope, I don't remember that. Sticking with the show Kenobi, just some of the points you made. It was originally supposed to be a movie. You said it might be better suited as a movie.
Yes.
It was originally intended to be that. And, you know how the world of Hollywood is. It's like, this is going to happen. It's not. Like, nothing ever really came together. Then Disney Plus became a thing. They're looking for content. And they had the idea, why don't we take this Kenobi movie? And we had ideas. There was never really a script. They were just ideas. And they're like, let's incorporate them. Let's stretch them. Let's now create this show. So basically, if you can think of it, what we got was originally going to be, yes, like a 2-hour movie, as opposed to like a 4 to 5 hour show. Yeah, I'm there with you. I like the show. There's a lot of hate for the show, especially from the Star Wars fans. There are things in the show I didn't care for at all. There are things that I thought were unnecessary. Essentially, the whole plot of the show. Yeah. I felt like the plot was already there. Just the struggle of Obi-Wan dealing with his past, dealing with being hunted by his former apprentice, and knowing that the actions of the Jedi, in a sense, had led to this moment, and just a show of regret, in a sense, ultimately culminating in a confrontation between good and evil once again. It could have all been there. Instead, the plot was about Obi-Wan Kenobi basically rescuing Princess Leia, and in doing so, revealed himself, and now he's being hunted proper. And introducing other new characters that the show decides to focus on more than furthering the relationship of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader, which I felt was a mistake. But despite all those things, I still really enjoyed the show, and you get some of the best Star Wars stuff in Star Wars, in that you get Kenobi. Or not even just Kenobi as a character, but Ewan McGregor's performance is some of the best in all of Star Wars. But you get Obi-Wan Kenobi, like, peak power level. But you also get Darth Vader, peak power level. And Darth Vader, would you say, is the most popular character in all of Star Wars? Debatable.
Yeah, no, I would say he is.
In all of Star Wars, it's him, Yoda, Luke, and the Mandalorian.
Yeah, now maybe. During like the sequel trilogy's peak, I would say like they were really pushing for like Rey and Kylo Ren to be like the next big things, but I don't think I don't think Rey, at least again with us, I think the kids are gonna really, you know, I think the young
the kids.
I do think the young kids are gonna grow up and love Rey.
They like Yoda from Last Jedi more than they like Rey. But anyway, I forgot the point we were making. But you know, I don't remember what the point I was making.
Good.
You have some of the best. Oh yeah, you have some of the best stuff in all of Star Wars, and you have some of the best, if not the, well, I don't want to say the best Darth Vader stuff.
Some great Darth Vader moments. Him catching the ship is amazing.
The whole force fight between him and Reva, him, you know, murking people in the streets of Tatooine.
Not Tatooine, by the way, but yes.
It's not?
No, it's a different, like, planet. They talk about it, but it isn't Tatooine.
Oh, it's not. Right, right. Yeah, it just, you know, if it's covered in sand.
Yeah, it's Tatooine.
Yeah.
It could have been Jakku. We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And the ending lightsaber duel between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader is up there also in some of the best lightsaber duels in all of Star Wars, not only in quality, but in emotion. And I felt the show did itself a disservice. I don't think it ruined A New Hope, like some people do say. I think it did a disservice to itself, though, in creating questions. It doesn't end in the way I think that makes sense. And this is just me personally. But it should have ended in a way of Vader believing he defeated Obi-Wan and going on with his life. As opposed to the opposite, where Obi-Wan was the most powerful we had ever seen him. And he does defeat Darth Vader and lets him live.
Yeah.
And goes on and becomes a hermit and hides out while the Empire rises even further and like it's taking over the galaxy, only to have Obi-Wan join the rebellion in a sense like 10 years later.
Once he understands how to help Luke past, because he that's what he's doing, is he's like exiling himself, not exiling himself, but going like out on a force journey to like learn with Qui-Gon to do what Qui-Gon did.
I suppose it
doesn't make sense why he didn't kill him. I agree 100% there. I like make zero sense why he would just, even when he did it, I was like, why is he just leaving?
That's not even the point I'm making. My point is, we know where the story goes because the movie was made in 1977.
Yeah.
So this show should have done everything it could to tell the story it wanted to tell, but adhere to the realities of the story.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that the way the show ended, and it created a lot of unnecessary questions.
Yeah.
And that was my only true complaint of the show. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. And it does pair very well with Revenge of the Sith. I had just watched Revenge of the Sith right before the show came out, and it goes so well together. It really does. Especially just Ewan McGregor not only coming back to the role, but things like his reaction to finding out that Anakin, who he thought was he left to die, has been alive all these years.
There's some great
companion
stuff.
Pieces.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think they're great stuff, and I implore you, if you're not this way, if you love Star Wars, but you're like very negative on the way the it's been going, I implore you to try and rewatch them and just try and enjoy them. Look at the good that's there. And if you can't find any good, then the movies are just not for you. But also, that doesn't mean that you need to push the ideology of them being terrible on people that find them good. Like, that happens all the time to me, where I'll say, I love the prequel trilogy. And it's usually old heads, but, you know, older people will be like, oh, it sucks. Those suck. They're terrible. They're awful. How can you watch those? And I'm like, because they're enjoyable, and I can explain a billion reasons why I enjoy them, but it doesn't matter. But that's the same way, vice versa. You could explain a billion reasons why they suck. I'm here for it. I see it. I see that they suck, but I love them. And that's how it's going to be, and I implore you to give them another shot if you hadn't. But with that being said, we're pushing. This is one of our longer episodes in a very, very long time. So would you like to get to our short little factory we have planned?
Little tiny brothers movie, the BB-8 brothers movie factory, if you will.
Exactly. So at this point in time, this is where we take the movie we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we take the film and we have a little fun with it. Maybe we recast it for a modern audience, maybe take an old movie and imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Take an animated movie and imagine what it would look like live, baby live. Or in this case, today's episode, simply imagining where we would like Star Wars to go. Obviously, since Star Wars has been taken over by Disney, there are several projects in the works. You know, coming, we have the High Republic being worked on right now. We have a Knights of the Old Republic remake game back in the works, which means that that's probably going to be considered full-blown canon. We have
Taika Waititi just announced he's going to start filming his Star Wars movie in late 2023.
Yeah, so you do have a lot of...
in 2023, sorry.
So you have a lot of Star Wars projects in the works. What is a story, what is an era that you'd like to see more of? And what is maybe the story you'd like it to focus on more? Like, do you want Jedis? Do you want Siths? Do you want bounty hunters? What are you thinking?
Man, I don't know. I'm fine with bounty hunters. We're satisfied with that.
Yes.
In general, we're pretty satisfied with almost all aspects. Honestly, if I wanted to make a show, like a Disney Plus show, I would make a pod racer show. Just focus about
the politics you could have, of pod racing.
Yeah. You could have an episode, and each episode focus on a different pod racer. And I'm just making this up now, but what if all, like, let's say it's six episodes. What if all six episodes were about the same exact race, but a focus on a different racer leading up to the race itself, and the final episode was the race?
So Ben Quadranero gets eliminated right away. That's a really short episode.
Exactly. That would be that. I've always been fascinated with pod racing, so maybe like focus more on like that world of Star Wars. It would also feel different because it's just a different almost genre, like a racing show.
Top Gun pod racing.
Yeah, like fuck yeah.
I said Top Gun, I meant Top Gear, but here we are.
I still felt it whatever you said. I'm like Top Gun, sure.
Yes.
Pod racing, even more so. We discussed recently if they make further Star Wars content, it should be like all fresh and new, no existing characters, like really expand this universe. Don't make it feel so small kind of deal.
Patty Jenkins is working on Patty Jenkins? She the one working on the Rogue Squadron movie?
She was. I'm not too sure if that's still happening or not. I'd have to research. I know the slot it was scheduled for is no longer happening. I'm not too sure if it's still happening or not. I think it might be, but that would be cool.
Yeah.
The road, like, focus on that kind of stuff. I would like more of that. I do love me a lightsaber duel. But, you know, I don't want Star Wars to fall into, like Batman and Joker kind of thing. Like, you always have to bring in the Joker. You know, always have to have a lightsaber fight. Like, even Mandalorian's doing that. They got the dark saber.
Yeah, nah, that's big in Mandalorian lore, though, so that makes sense.
Of course. Nah, I'm just teasing, but yeah, so me personally, Podracer stuff.
Like I said earlier, I really enjoy Coruscant. And there was a game that was supposed to come out a couple years ago. It got canceled when Disney took over and then gave video game rights to EA. It was called 1313. And I believe it was going to follow Jango Fett. Now, granted, like you said, we've had enough of Mandalorians and Boba Fetts and Jango Fetts and bounty hunters and whatnot. But I wouldn't be too... too opposed to seeing a show, because the way Coruscant works is, you know, you go down and down and down into different levels, and we do see some of this level in Attack of the Clones when they're chasing that assassin. But to do maybe a show that's more about the underground of Coruscant, to see the, I mean, it could be like a Star Wars Godfather, but to see kind of the inner workings of like crime, organized crime, moving of spice in the galaxy, and different things like that, death sticks. But like, really,
that's
seeing
what we're all hoping for with Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I mean, we did see a little bit of that, like we saw in Kenobi, with Ewan McGregor's daughter trying to sell him drugs. Did you know that was Ewan McGregor's daughter, by the way?
When?
The second episode, he's on that, like, dark planet. It's like when Reva's hunting him, and they put out the bounty on him. The girl, like, that offers him drugs and then gives him the spice. She's like, that's on me, or whatever. Like, I was someone's daughter once, or something like that. That's Ewan McGregor's daughter.
Yes.
I'd love to see, like, a Godfather-esque, like, Star Wars movie. Like, organized crime wars. What Book of Boba Fett should have been. Hell, it could be a spinoff of Book of Boba Fett. It could be another crime, actual crime syndicate, like, taking a war to him and being legitimate, not just, I don't know. Book of Boba Fett, I like all of Star Wars, but it's definitely Star Wars that I won't go back and visit. That'd be fun for me, I think.
I like it.
All right.
I like it, and I think in our hands, Star Wars is in a good place.
Yeah, just got to give it to us. But with that being said, I think we're going to wrap it all up. That is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you like what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. That's a primary site. That's where we post to first, and then subsequently it gets shipped out everywhere else. So Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, hey, we're there. You can also find us over on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we'll be posting links to the show, clips of the show, memes that Gus makes, and announcements of what we're going to be watching and at. You can also find us over on Facebook.
Go to Facebook. I like to make memes what we're watching each and every week, including, hey, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. You'll see a fat meme of that. I like to include links to things Ben mentioned a moment ago, like Audioboom, Spotify, Twitter, and at.
So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. But until next week, you are my brother.
Brother.
Brother Anakin.
I hate you.